Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the latest headlines from the Geico Update Center.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 50% or more on car insurance.
Miami Sports Radio, WQAM.
Hi, yes, this update is sponsored by JCPenney. We are broadcasting live here from the beautiful BB&T Center in Sunrise, Florida, where the Florida Panthers welcome in the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight for a little pre-Turkey Day celebration. Face-off is set for 7 o'clock here this evening. Note the 7 o'clock sharp start time. You can hear the game on this radio station with Doug Plagans and Bill Lindsay on the call. Hurricanes basketball is just underway in Reading, Pennsylvania. You can hear the game on AM 940 with Josie Gackey on the call. 11th-ranked Miami on the road at LaSalle. Miami Heat will host the Boston Celtics tonight. That'll be a 7:30 tip-off this evening. The Miami Hurricanes now ranked number 2 by the College Football Playoff Committee. They will take on the Pitt Panthers on the road on Friday, Black Friday, 12 noon kickoff. Our pregame coverage on WQAM will start at 8 a.m. and the Miami Dolphins will take on the Patriots on the road in New England this Sunday at 1 o'clock. You can hear that game here on this radio station with our pregame coverage starting at 9 a.m. Hey, it's Black Friday at JCPenney. Save up to 40% on your favorite appliance brands like GE, Samsung, LG, and Frigidaire. JCPenney, why are you playing me off, bro?
From the Edmore Sawgrass Cadillac Studios.
Talk good, dude.
Edmore is your only Cadillac dealer of the year in Broward and Dade County. This is the Alex Dano Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes! Oh, it is. It is! The Alex Dano Show here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. I guess I got to keep those updates shorter. Like, they played me off like Leo DiCaprio on the Golden Globes. I apologize for being so long-winded, but when you have so many games going on this week, man, with the Dolphins preparing to go to New England where they are a 17-point underdog. I mean, that's a college football number. To be a 7, and I know it's on the road in a very tough place to play, and the Dolphins aren't very good, and the Patriots are defending Super Bowl champions. You know, I've just talked myself into thinking 17 points is probably about the right number there, but that's a big number in the NFL to be a 17-point dog. That's what the Dolphins are this week. Miami Hurricanes, of course, as mentioned, taking on Pittsburgh on the road this Friday. I'm already starting to hear this from the haters. I don't know why I listen to these people, but telling me, oh, Dono, this is a classic look-ahead game. Your mind is already on Clemson. December 2nd, ACC Championship. Pittsburgh has nothing to lose. They're going to be going for every fourth down. They're going to be running every trick play in the books. They'll probably do an onside kick every time they kick off. This is the type of game you can suffer a loss in a look-ahead game. And honestly, I think this team is too focused for that. I talked to a couple of players last night. I hosted the second hour of Hurricane Hotline, which was a lot of fun because I got to talk to Jersey Mike Badgley, senior kicker. I got to talk with Tyree St. Louis, the junior starting right tackle, who I had never spoken to Tyree before. That dude was entertaining because Tyree St. Louis started going on and on. And I love this because as a lifelong Hurricane fan and as an alumnus of that university, my entire life has been built on the foundation of I go to the university that everyone hates. Because every Canes fan, like Canes fans, we define ourselves on the idea that the Lee Corsos of the world and the Lou Holtzes of the world and all the national talking heads, they hate your university. They despise your football team. Sports Illustrated was campaigning to get rid of your football team. That us against the world mentality, it defines so many of us who cheer for the U. It's empowering to us. And to hear Tyree St. Louis going on and on about how nobody wants us to win, they're looking for excuses to criticize us. Even if we win games, it's not enough for some of these people. So he's got that same complex, is the word I'm looking for there, that Miami fans have. And I love the fact that he still feels that way, even though I was speaking to him minutes after Miami was announced as the new number two, jumping over Clemson in the college football playoff rankings. I actually gave him that information. I was the first person to tell him, you guys are now number two. And he said, doesn't matter. Michael Badgley said the same thing. They weren't even watching the selection show the way that so many of us were, because these guys know that it really doesn't matter at this point. You play Clemson straight up in 10 days anyway. So that matchup is going to be decided on the field. You know, I was trying to stir some things up today in the Dolphins locker room, completely failed, fell flat on my face, because you've got a couple of Clemson guys in that locker room, in Andre Branch, who I did see today, Cordre Tankersley, I didn't see him in the locker room today, but then you've got a UM duo at receiver of Malcolm Lewis and Rashawn Scott. And so, you know, I spoke to those guys a little bit, and I asked them, like, hey, are you motivated? Are you getting into a locker room beef with the Clemson guys? Are you excited for this? And they just looked me dead in the eye, and they're like, bro, we're getting ready for New England. Like, what are you bothering us with this nonsense for? They completely blew me off. Andre Branch, I got a little mileage out of, though. He's excited for the game. Andre Branch, a proud Clemson alum. I can't wait for Miami to kick the ass of his team in about 10 days when they play in that ACC championship game. But, yeah, I think the sense that I got being on the air live last night when the college football playoff announcement, when the new rankings came out yesterday, was a lot of surprise. You know, a number of people texted in the radio station. You can do that again tonight, by the way. You can always text us at 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. Just please don't text and drive. It's not responsible. But you can text us at 56022. I think the reaction that I got last night was a combination of surprise, because even some of you who love the Canes were asking me, Dono, how the hell did this team move into number two after the Virginia game, which was, hey, a strong finish, but not a good start and not the best performance of the year by a long shot. How do you move up a spot after that? I even had some people texting me saying that they hate it, that they would have rather dropped a spot down to number four because they want to have that chip on the shoulder. I'll tell you why that's a very foolish thing to wish for. And Kirk Herbstreit was the one who said it best last night. The advantage of moving into number two is it gets harder to fall out of that top four. And I understand the perspective that Big O brought today, for example, because when he brought up that same argument, he would brush it off by saying, well, listen, that's loser talk. I don't want to think about the scenarios of how you get in with one loss because I want Miami to stay undefeated. Of course, I also want Miami to stay undefeated. Of course, I'm focused on winning every game. I want no letdown game against Pittsburgh. I want the performance against Clemson to be similar to what I saw against Notre Dame and similar to what I saw against Virginia Tech the week prior, because if you play like that, you can beat any team in the country. So, of course, I want to win every game and leave no doubt and get into the college football playoff undefeated 12-0. Of course, that's what I want. But there is some value in what Kirk Herbstreit said, in that you climb up a spot from number three to number two. Let's say you do lose a close game to Clemson, or God forbid you lose a letdown game to Pittsburgh, but then you beat Clemson in the ACC championship. The higher you are right now, the tougher it will be to drop you out of that top four. You know, dropping three spots to number five is tougher than it would be to drop two spots or one spot to number five. So there is some value in that. There is value in moving up from number three to number two. And if you're asking me how and why did that happen, defense. And it's not to say Miami's offense isn't extremely talented, extremely explosive, and the quarterback play has been such a pleasant surprise because Malik Rozier is a gamer. Wide receivers are making plays. Not always the guys you expect, because I thought Amon Richards would be like a 1,500-yard receiver at this point. Instead, it's been a lot of other guys carrying the load, and he's shown up in flashes here and there. And now the running game with Travis Homer has been excellent since you lost last year's MVP. Mark Walton was named most valuable player of that offense, of that team, not just the offense, most valuable player of Miami football last year. You lost him in the Florida State game, and yet Travis Homer, who didn't start until the fifth game of the season, is only 151 yards away from breaking 1,000. So that's going to happen for him this year. I would be very surprised if it doesn't. So those are impressive accomplishments from the offense. But if you're asking me why Miami is now ranked number two, you look at the defensive side of the football being number one in the country in turnover margin, number one in the country in turnovers. You're top four in total defense. You're number one in the country in sacks. You're fourth in tackles for a loss. 9 tackles for loss per game. I mean, Manny Diaz's defense is savage. Savage, and that's why he's a Broyles Award candidate, a semifinalist. He's one of the final top 15, and I think he's going to win that award this year. And it's also why he's one of the most talked about names as far as coordinators go. You know, coordinators being looked at as, you know, potential head coaches next year. He's one of the top guys that comes up in that list. And it's not a coincidence. It's because his defense has been breaking opposing quarterbacks' faces all season long. That's why you're ranked number two. And I also, I put value in these words from Kirby Hokut, part of that college football playoff committee. And of course, that name is familiar to you because he's a former Miami athletic director who in recent weeks, I kind of thought he had an axe to grind with Miami with some of the things he was saying. But Kirby Hokut was very complimentary of the Miami Hurricanes last week. Yesterday, I should say. Here's an excerpt from Susan Miller Degnan's piece in the Miami Herald today. This is what Kirby Hokut had to say on ESPN last night. As we said last week, the separation between teams 1 through 5 was very narrow, said Selection Committee Chairman Kirby Hokut. And I would say this week the same remains true. We talked about a Miami team that has shown progress over the last 3 weeks. They have really strengthened their resume in the last 3 weeks. The Selection Committee, as we talked about, what we see on the field, we see characteristics of a championship-caliber team with Miami. Wow, I never thought I would hear that from a member of the College Football Playoff Committee, especially not that member of the College Football Playoff Committee, that people are now taking Miami seriously. And he actually spoke highly about that Virginia win, which a lot of you thought, based on Miami falling down 14-0 in that game, falling down 28-14 in the second half, you thought, okay, even if Miami wins this game, they may use this win against Miami because it wasn't as impressive as it should have been. Quite the contrary. Kirby Hokut actually looked at that as a positive. They get down 14 early against Virginia this week, he said. They came back. They got down 14 points in the second half, and they came back to win in a convincing manner. Yeah, they did score the final 30 points of that game. So the selection committee continues to be impressed with Miami as they continue to build their undefeated record, and they have the ever slight margin ahead of number three Clemson this week. And also, you know, Syracuse, who beat Clemson, they're garbage this year, and North Carolina State lost again. They're not as good as we thought they were about a month ago. That was one of Clemson's victories, but that doesn't look like as quality of a victory as it did weeks ago. And Miami's schedule now, number one strength of schedule in the country, which surprised even me when I saw that. So this is reason, I think, to be excited for Hurricanes fans. Texter writes in, UM has been irrelevant since 2001. They don't expect you to be back next year. Consistency is the key. Well, and I think we're on our way to consistency. You look at the recruiting classes Mark Richt is putting together. You look at the way that they have improved from their five-game winning streak to end last season. Now a 10-game winning streak this year, 15-game winning streak overall. They're absolutely building on that. I think the consistency is on the way here for these guys. So we go from that, from the Miami Hurricanes to the Miami Dolphins. Now, here's a note. I was down in Davie today at Dolphins practice, and we heard from head coach Adam Gase. We heard from the coordinators as well. I'm expecting that Matt Moore is going to be the starting quarterback this Sunday, but I can't say that with 100% certainty, or probably not even 90% certainty, because I can tell you this. If Jay Cutler, who's in the concussion protocol, now, sometimes it's pretty quick to get through that concussion protocol. Other times you could be Jordan Cameron, who's still in the concussion protocol for like 3 years. You never know with the concussion protocol. But if Jay Cutler can get out of the concussion protocol before Sunday, I think there's a chance he plays. I know you don't want to hear that. I know you don't want to consider that, because Matt Moore, once again last week, provided a spark when he came out for the second half. Now, it's a different story when he starts a game. Like when he played four quarters against Baltimore, that was an abomination of football. But when Matt Moore comes in late in games in relief, the guy provides sparks. And yeah, he did beat the Jets and he did beat Buffalo last year and looked pretty good filling in for Ryan Tannehill. So it's not like there's not a history there for Matt Moore. But here is Adam Gase. This is right at the top of his presser from today. Here's Adam Gase on the quarterback situation this week.
Matt's going today and Jay's in the concussion protocol. That's really all I have for you right now.
So Matt Moore was the starter today in practice. Jay Cutler is in the concussion protocol, but we can't necessarily make a leap from Wednesday to Sunday to guarantee who's going to start. Here's Gase adding a little bit more to that on Jay Cutler's status.
I'm sure there'll be a point where I make a decision that I don't really know what the timetable is right now. I'm just kind of take it day by day right now. And when you're in the protocol, it's kind of, as coaches, we remove ourselves and let that process kind of take care of itself. I'm really, at the end of the day, that the protocol tells us what the right thing to do is. You express a
lot of. So here's what I take out of that. There is a chance that it could come down to a game time decision, right? I mean, we would love the idea that, maybe tomorrow, because there is media availability tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day, maybe we find out tomorrow that Matt Moore is the guy or Jay Cutler is back and he's going to start, or we find out Friday when Gase addresses the media. There's a chance we don't know until Sunday because, Cutler, if he is able to clear that concussion protocol Saturday or Sunday, this could come down to a game time decision. Now, honestly, with there even being question over Cutler's health right now, not to mention the fact that I thought the way Moore played in the second half, he's bringing up this whole discussion again. I would like to have a full plan for this week. His first couple of days of practice this week, Matt Moore has been approaching things as the starter. He's got a little bit of a different cadence than Cutler. That was one of the things talked about after the game. And yeah, I don't know if this is excuse making or if it's just reality that maybe some of those pre-snap penalties, the false starts, were caused by the fact that guys were a little bit more used to Cutler's cadence than they were to Matt Moore's cadence. So with that being said, maybe the idea of preparing for a full week with Matt Moore as the starter and then he is the starter on Sunday, that might be the best thing for everybody this week. Here's what offensive coordinator Clyde Christensen had to say about the issue. I mean, it's been very obvious in a couple of these games. The Jets game, when Moore came in for Cutler earlier this season and led a second half comeback. The game this past weekend when Moore came in and played a lot better in the second half than Cutler did before getting concussed in the first half. You seem to see Matt Moore adding a spark. Like, it's impossible to avoid it, but I've noticed that the coaching staff, they downplay it a little bit, right? Instead of coming out and saying, yeah, you know what, we love the energy, we love the spark that Matt Moore provides, the answer is more along the lines of, well, you got this urgency when you have a backup quarterback in the game, so that motivates guys to step up. It's like they're not giving credit to Matt Moore, they're giving credit to the situation. But here is Clyde Christensen when asked why the team played better in the second half with Matt Moore at quarterback.
I don't know why. We played better. We just played better, and I don't think that's reflection of one position as much as just the unit played better. And then I think sometimes you get the momentum going, and our team has always just been one that, it just snowballs one direction or the other. Those penalties, the turnovers, we'll go some periods where we really, snowballs and we're rolling. And the second half happened to be one of those upturns, and the first half was as bad a ball as we've played. I think it was all around. It wasn't just a quarterback. It was some other things too. And Matt didn't do everything right. He did give us a chance to got us back in the thing and gave us a chance, but we missed some red zone opportunities. We missed some red zone opportunities in the second half that would have made that thing not a tie at the end. We had tons of opportunity to win that game before the end of the game, and we didn't. We the pick penalty that was questionable. There were four or five things in the red zone where really we got to finish those drives and score touchdowns, and we got field goals and ended up biting us in the rear at the end of the day. So I don't think it would be one guy as much as the whole unit.
Assuming the Dolphins don't go on to win the next six games in a row and put themselves right back in the hunt for a playoff spot, because I think based on what you've seen on the field for the last four games, it's hard to believe they're rattling off six straight wins when they've still got to play New England twice before the year is done. So assuming that doesn't happen, how will you remember this 2017 season for the Dolphins? Like, how will you look back on this three, 4 years down the road? Because unfortunately to me, you're going to look back at this season, in my humble opinion, much in the same way you look back at, let's say, the Bullygate season, where you're going to remember the scandals and the gaffes and the weird off-the-field stuff more than you're going to remember anything on the field. Like, when you look back at 2017, this year in history for the Miami Dolphins, you're going to think on, you're not going to think on, oh, Cameron Wake still going pretty strong at 35 years old, and Dominican Sue, what a leader. No, you're going to think about Ray Maualuga arrested. You're going to think about the offensive line coach videotaping himself snorting lines to send it to a stripper. You're going to think about Lawrence Timmons going AWOL. You're going to think about season-ending injuries a la Ryan Tannehill. You're going to be thinking about a lot of that stuff, a lot of the weird, a lot of the bizarre. Maybe you'll even think about, you know, the team losing their bye week to Hurricane Irma. A lot of those bizarrities are going to come to mind before anything that happens on the field. So it's starting to reach this boiling point, and I hope these guys can win some big games. A victory over New England this Sunday, which the odds makers would consider a miracle as a 17-point underdog, but a victory this Sunday would go a long way to changing that narrative. But you just feel like this is one of those seasons that you can't get out of quickly enough, because right when you think everything possible has gone wrong off the field, something else like Ray Maualuga is going to happen. Something else rears its ugly head. So it's been a very strange and bizarre season to cover. It really has. You know what's not strange and bizarre? Never. The Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. Oh, the Quarterdeck is the spot to watch the big game. Pro football, college football, watch a little hockey, watch every UFC pay-per-view fight for zero cover charge. They have that and more, my friends, at the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. It's a great place to watch a game or a big fight because they have the high-def flat-screen TVs covering every single wall, and I love the food at the Quarterdeck. Ooh. I mean, I'm going to be very hungry the next couple of days, well, at least tomorrow before Thanksgiving dinner. Then I'll probably not eat for like 3 days because I'm going to eat myself into a coma. But when I think about lots of food, I think about the Quarterdeck because I love the seafood at the Quarterdeck. Oh, the oysters and Maine lobster are so good. The world-class sushi is delicious at the Quarterdeck. I love the fresh mahi. I love the buffalo shrimp. I love the chicken wings at the Quarterdeck. I get them super spicy because I'm a man's man. But I love the chicken wings. I love the chicken ciabatta sandwich. The baby back ribs are tender. Meat falls right off the bone. But whatever you do, make sure you save room for dessert because the key lime cheesecake at the Quarterdeck, that is the perfect way to finish every meal. And you wash it down with the 2-for-1 happy hour all day, every day. The 2-for-1 margaritas, that is my favorite. And they have the spirit master at the Quarterdeck concocting all the great craft cocktails. The wine selection is impressive at the Quarterdeck. If you'd like to try it or you'd like to experience the Quarterdeck again, you want to find your location by visiting them on the web at quarterdeckrestaurants.com, because the Quarterdeck is where you come for the food and stay for the fun.
Pete County. Miami Sports Radio, WQAM.
I am broadcasting live from the BB&T Center in beautiful Sunrise, Florida. Florida Panthers hosting Austin Matthews and the Toronto Maple Leafs here tonight. Should be a really fun game here. The eve of Thanksgiving. I know people are preparing all their turkey dinners for tomorrow, but stop by and say hi to us here at the BB&T Center in Sunrise. Puck will drop at 7 o'clock sharp here tonight, so a rare weekday 7 o'clock home start as the Panthers welcome in the Maple Leafs. Of course, we'll have the call on this radio station. Doug Plagans and Bill Lindsay will be on that call. Doug and Bill will join me in about 15 minutes to break this game down, but we'll break down the Hurricanes here as it's time for the Canes Insight Report. Brought to you by Caneswear at Miami Fanwear. That is the spot where Miami fans shop. Visit caneswear.com. Peter Ariz from canesinsight.com and outthehuddle.com joins us. Peter, were you surprised to see Miami actually climb a spot into number two when the college football playoff rankings were announced yesterday?
I got to say, Alex, I was a bit surprised just because I did not think that the playoff committee would be respecting them like that. Look, I mean, I think that is a very good sign, though, because that kind of leads me to believe that if Miami takes care of business on Friday against Pitt and then, you know, maybe has a close loss against the Clemson, maybe a one-score loss and other things fall in their favor, then they may still make the playoffs. Of course, you want to go out there and handle business against Clemson in the ACC championship, but I think that's an encouraging sign that shows you that the committee really is starting to believe in Miami's resume. And it's important here to note, Alex, that if you take a loss late in the season, like Miami could potentially take against Clemson, is it more important about the timing of the loss or who you lost to and,
right,
you know, the other teams you beat? So if the committee is telling you now that you have a strong resume to beat the number two team in the country, then I really think that helps Miami move forward.
Well, and Peter, I also think about, you know, the magnitude of one loss, because there are a couple scenarios. Well, let's say worst case scenario. Well, actually, this is not the worst case scenario, but a bad scenario. Miami loses one of their next two games. Would it be better to lose to Pittsburgh, but then beat Clemson in the ACC championship? Then you're the conference champion. Or would it be better to take care of business against Pitt and then lose a close game to Clemson? Which of those scenarios would be better or worse?
Well, listen, Alex, I think if you beat, I think in any scenario, if you beat Clemson, you're in, just because, you know, look, if they lose to Pittsburgh, they would probably drop to 6th or 7th, but if they win the next game against a number 2 or 3 Clemson team, they'd probably jump right back into the mix there. So I think beating Clemson, you're in regardless. I think if you beat a Pittsburgh and you lose to Clemson, then you're kind of hanging on a little bit more, because, look, not that I think that it's right. I think that if a two-loss Ohio State or a two-loss USC or a two-loss Auburn was up against Miami, I think Miami with one loss should get in, because I think one thing that I think that the committee, I wouldn't say there's bias involved, but I think what they're trying to do a lot of times, maybe a lot of them have preconceived notions about teams, and what they're doing is trying to justify what their thoughts were going into the season or going into the game maybe they had previously, and then trying to justify them with ways that they can kind of manipulate their resume. So I think that is the concern with the playoff committee, and that's why I think it is a good positive sign moving forward that Miami is number 2 right now, because if they, for whatever reason, lose to a Clemson by, you know, a score, or it's a close game, it's a tight ball game, you can tell it's a tightly contested game, then that should be, you know, very much in the playoff committee's consideration, that was Miami's only loss to the number 2 team in the country. But listen, the best thing right here for Miami right now is that they still control their own destiny. They win the next two games, they're in. No doubt about it.
You know, Peter, I know Mark Richt wants to keep his staff together long term, and obviously it doesn't seem like money is as much of an issue for assistant coaches as it was a couple of years ago. But how worried should Hurricanes fans be that Manny Diaz might even get a head coaching job somewhere after this season?
Well, look, he's deserving of it. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You could even say that there's two head coaches on this Miami team right now. Everyone knows Mark Richt is the guy, but he's been the offensive coach, and he maybe isn't the offensive coordinator by title, but that is what he essentially is. He's a play caller. And Manny Diaz is running the defensive side of the football completely. So his resume is there to be a head coach, no doubt about it. My question is, Alex, out of the jobs available right now, I don't think that any of them are going after Manny Diaz.
Right.
I think that Manny Diaz is a guy who deserves a bit, like a high caliber D1 job. I don't think he's going to go out there and coach for a mid-level Power 5 team. I think in Manny Diaz's head, he's saying, all right, you know, maybe he could leverage this offseason to a little bit of a raise. We saw Coach Kuligowski. Listen, if Craig Kuligowski turned down NFL offers from the New Orleans Saints and the New York Jets, you know, I think that kind of shows you, number one, look, he did get his raise, he did get his title added to assistant head coach, but he showed that he's kind of wanting to see this whole thing play out with Miami. I think these coaches understand, as good as they are right now, there's a lot of talent coming in, and we keep saying it, right? And it's scary to think that these are not even Rick's best guys.
Yeah.
The foundation of this thing right now is the Al Golden talent. And that's not a horrible thing. Pat Thomas was a 5-star recruit. You know, Travis Homer was a 4-star recruit. But when Mark Richt gets his guys in there, it's going to be a different ballgame.
Peter Reeves from CanesInsight.com and OutTheHuddle.com joins us here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. You know, a texter wanted me to ask you this. I think it's a pretty decent and timely question today, because Mark Richt talked a little bit this afternoon about Mark Walton, and that he's still very active in team meetings. He's active with his teammates, even though he's out for the season. I'm still of the mind, Peter, I highly doubt he comes back next year, given his family considerations, given that I don't think at running back you really have as much to gain out of a senior year as quarterbacks do, for example. But Do you think there's a chance? Is there a shred of hope that Mark Walton comes back next season?
I really don't think there is, Alex. I think you hit it on the head right there. Mark Walton, I would expect to be gone. Everything, the latest information I've heard is that he's, you know, still leaning towards going. And you said it. I mean, the value in the running back position, there's not a lot of longevity there. And he's a guy who has produced at a high level. You see what Miami has at running back right now in Travis Homer. DJ Dallas starting to show some signs. And you're bringing in a five-star running back in Lorenzo Lingard, and then another highly touted guy in Cam Davis coming in as well. So, but you know what? It does show you, Alex, again, he is very involved. So it shows you the character of a guy like that because he is still, listen, if he was completely checked out mentally, the guy wouldn't even care about what's going on. But he is still a leader in that locker room, a vocal leader, and he can still kind of like guide those younger guys even though he's not out there on the field with them.
Peter, Miami and Pittsburgh this Friday, 12 noon kickoff at Heinz Field with the Pitt Panthers. You know, Pittsburgh is not good, and they're not bowl eligible, so they're just trying to play spoiler. But it doesn't mean that an ACC Coastal game can't be competitive, and if Miami is overlooking Pittsburgh, they could be in trouble. What's your scouting report on this game, and what has to happen for Pitt to beat Miami?
Listen, this is a Pitt team. They don't even know their starting quarterback is going to be. You know Miami's defense is going to come after them. I think if you're Miami, you have to follow up on, you know, basically where you left off. You had a hot second half against Virginia. You know that this is a Pitt team that they don't have a bowl game to play for. This is their last game. It's senior day. So this is everything for them. From everything that I've been hearing, Pittsburgh, a team right now, since they don't have a bowl game to play, it's going to be an experimental game for their coaching staff. They may be throwing guys out there that Miami hasn't seen on film before. So I think they just have to be coming out mentally locked in. Again, you saw them come back against the Virginia team last year, and they're capable of doing that against a team like Virginia as well. But you don't want to get in the habit of doing that, because against a Clemson, you get down against a Clemson and you're not coming back. You get down by two scores against that team and you're not coming back. So you don't want them to create those habits. You saw them do it against North Carolina, you know, against Georgia Tech. They had to sweep one out as well. Florida State's a different story to me. But you want to see them come out sharp on Friday against Pittsburgh. And I think they will. Listen, I don't want to hear the cold weather excuse with this team, because I saw an Al Golden coach team come out a few years ago in a similar situation.
Oh, and you know what's funny, though, Peter? People were calling me out on the text line last night because I was interviewing Michael Badgley, and I started to ask him about, you know, kicking in cold weather, because I just assumed, oh, it's probably going to be 15 degrees in Pittsburgh. People kept texting me because they love, as soon as I make a mistake, people just jump all over me. Radio is a terrible, terrible business, Peter. You know this. But as soon as I said that, half a dozen people texted in, you're an idiot. It's going to be 51 degrees. Don't worry about it. So apparently weather is not even going to really be that much of a factor this week.
Well, listen, it hasn't been 50 degrees in Miami in a while, Alex. You know
that's true. So. That is true.
But here, I'll tell you this. On the Badgley thing, Badgley's a Jersey kid, so he should be able to kick in the cold weather. So I'm more worried about the Michael Pinkneys and the Shaq. You know, these are Florida boys. But honestly, listen, I think they'll come out ready. I think that, again, to me, it's not even like a focus thing with them. It wasn't a focus thing last week either. Virginia came out, made some plays, and they responded. It wasn't that they fell asleep at the wheel or anything like that. To me, they'll be ready, and I think they come out and win by a few scores.
Pete, this is the busiest shopping week on planet Earth, and I know everybody wants Canes gear this time of year with the way Miami is playing. Tell me about what's happening at Canes Wear at Miami Fanwear this week. I know Brett and the boys are ready for some big business.
Oh, I was over there earlier today doing the podcast, Alex, and you know, it's exciting to get the energy of the Canes fans out there. I'm telling you, you can order online at CanesWear.com, but if you can go in store, that's your best bet, because it's such a crazy time right now. You go in there and you just pick out whatever you want, and he's got it all. If you're going to the ACC Championship, it's going to be, we're talking about some cold weather in Pittsburgh. It might be a little bit colder than that in a couple weeks in Charlotte, so CanesWear has got you covered with all that.
Peter, excellent stuff as always, my friend. It's the Canes Insight Report brought to you by Caneswear at Miami Fanware. That is the spot where Miami fans shop. Visit caneswear.com. Pete, thank you so much. Enjoy the game on Friday. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Alex. Have a good one.
By the way, a texter asked me, would you shave your eyebrows to avoid a Canes loss? Why not? I'm already bald. Like, what's the big deal if I take off a couple of eyebrows? They'll probably grow back. Yeah, if you could guarantee me that the Hurricanes stay undefeated if I shave my eyebrows, I'm down for that. I'm down for that completely. Doug Plagans is going to join me next. We're going to break down Panthers, Maple Leafs here tonight at the BB&T Center in Sunrise. You're listening to the Alex Dono Show here on WQAM. Maple Leafs, Doug Plagans, voice of the Panthers, joins me. Doug, anytime Austin Matthews is in town, really the future of the NHL, what he's doing at 20 years old, it's a great night for hockey.
Oh, yeah, the Panthers and the Maple Leafs tonight. This is going to be an entertaining one. You've got a lot of skill on both sides, a lot of speed on both sides, and with Roberto Luongo and Frederik Andersen as the goaltending matchup, you've got two of the best goaltenders in the league over the last few weeks. Both these guys are on fire, so it's going to be a game that features a lot of talent at both ends of the ice.
Doug Plagans, Bill Lindsay will be on the call here tonight. Florida Panthers welcome in the Toronto Maple Leafs for a little pre-Turkey Day action here on the ice. We invite you to join us and catch this game at the BB&T Center in Sunrise. Always an exciting show here in this area when the Panthers take the ice. It should be a good one here today. I want to thank Peter Ariz for joining me here tonight. I want to thank those who listened in, texted in, called in the show. Of course, it was nice hearing from Dolphins head coach Adam Gase and offensive coordinator Clyde Christensen as the Miami Dolphins will play on the road at New England this week. And, of course, your second-ranked Miami Hurricanes will play on the road at the Pittsburgh Panthers on Friday. You can hear that game right here on this radio station. KC Jones and I will have the pregame show starting at 8 a.m. from Milam's Market in Coconut Grove. But Florida Panthers, Toronto Maple Leafs, that is coming up next. The puck will drop here shortly on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
You can reach us anytime on the Plumbers 911.